The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Can I say to the children, there may be a few children here amongst you in the congregation, if you would rather go to the side and do some colouring in or do a word search, there are some sheets available, but that's for the children, not the adults. It would be better than listening to me. Okay. As you know, the vicar's on holiday, but he's back again this afternoon. A little boy said to his mum, "Mum, why does the vicar have 4 weeks' holiday and my dad only has two?" "Well," said his mum, "if he's a very good vicar, then he needs to have 4 weeks. But if he's not a good vicar, then the congregation need it." We're starting today a new series of sermons on stories Jesus told. But I'm going to be inclined to refer to them as parables. The parable of Jesus, because I like the name parable, because it's an earthly story with a spiritual or a heavenly meaning. And I'm going to take these hearing aids out, because I'm just a lot of echoing coming back into my ears. We're looking at one of these parables this morning. But first of all, as we think of the two builders, I would like to think, or you to think about your house, the house that you live in. If I was to ask you to describe it to me, you would no doubt tell me its location, where it's situated, what it looks like, whether it's red brick or it's painted, whether it's two-storied, one-story, a bungalow, or a semi-detached. But I would think that very few of you would say anything about the foundation on which your house is built, because you don't see the foundation. You take it for granted. But the fact that your house is still standing means that it's on a good foundation. We can think of this other building here. Some of you may have been to Pisa and have seen that in person, but as you know, it's tilting badly. And that building is 179 feet high. It's over 800 years old, and it is now about 17 feet off plumb and is still gradually tilting to one side. And eventually it will fall, but maybe not in our lifetime. And maybe when we think of the name of the place where it is situated, it gives us a clue as to why that is. It is known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And the meaning of the word, or the name Pisa, means marshy land. It was built on marshy land. It should never have been built there, and therefore it was not, had not got a solid enough foundation. So, Jesus tells a parable about two builders. One was wise and one was foolish. He emphasizes how critical it is to have a strong foundation. The use of a building metaphor should not surprise us, because Jesus himself was a carpenter. Perhaps he helped build some of the houses around that area that the people lived in, because very often builders and carpenters work together. Take this building for example. It is very similar to the one I was working on when I left that trade to come into Church Army. It was a convent being built in my hometown of Milford in County Donegal. And as you can see through the scaffolding there, you can see lots of columns, beams and concrete floors. For that to happen, the carpenters had to assemble all the casings, making sure that the beams were level and the column casings were plumb, and that they all lined up with each other before being filled with concrete. When filled, they then had to be checked again by the carpenters or joiners in case anything had moved when the concrete was being poured into them. It was very crucial that everything was done correctly. Jesus, of course, knew the difference between a shoddy house and a solid one. However, this story is not just for architects, carpenters, and contractors. It is for you and me. Building a house is simply an analogy for building a life. The point is this: each one of us is building a life, and the foundation we choose is the most important feature of our life. In the verses that follow, Jesus provides two options for building our life, either on rock or on sand. Because in that reading that Tina did for us a few moments ago, we have these words where it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Here Jesus had given one of the greatest sermons of all time, which covered many topics, known as the Sermon on the Mount, there on that hillside in Galilee. And you can see all of these topics. I think there are 18 listed there on the screen in front of you. And I have put them there because if we are not in the habit of reading our Bibles as much as we should, then we are at a disadvantage of not being familiar with the teaching of Jesus on these topics. Now, when was the last time we heard a sermon preached about murder? We may think it's not appropriate, yet many people like watching murder mysteries. We could say we would never dream of committing murder, yet at the same time, we can so easily murder another person's character by the things that we say about them and even do to them. It's called character assassination. Now, I'm not going to go through them all one by one, but what about adultery and divorce? Oh no, these are taboo subjects, so we gloss over them in case we would offend anyone. I remember hearing John Wimber say on one occasion that he was flying from one part of the country to another, and on the plane, as he glanced across the aisle, he saw written on a man's forehead the word adultery. And he couldn't believe his eyes. You can see the startled look there on his face. He couldn't believe his eyes, what he was seeing. And he took another look. And as he looked across at the man said to him, "What are you looking at?" And then John said to him, "I think you and I need to have a little talk." And so they found a quiet part away at the back of the plane where they could go and talk. And when John told him what he saw written across his forehead, the man then broke down and confessed that he had been having an affair unknown to his wife. Now, Jesus didn't shy away when it came to dealing with difficult subjects. No, he dealt with them head on, because he knew what the people's needs were. So he concludes his teaching by using the following parable, linking it with what he had already taught them in connection with all of these topics. So he said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise person who builds his house on the rock." By using the word "everyone," Jesus reveals that his words are intended for all people at all time, not just the people he had already spoken to there on that hillside in Galilee, but for people like you and me here in St. Andrew's Church this morning. He begins by stating that we must hear his word. In order to do so, we must expose ourselves, therefore, to the truth of God's word. We can do this by reading the scriptures, and it's very important that we do so, that we make that a daily habit. Or by reading, and I should say, by reading Christian books, by attending worship as often as we possibly can, by getting involved with small groups, and that's why we have small groups here in the parish, so that people can benefit from belonging to them, and by meeting with other Christian friends who can encourage us along the way. While this may sound daunting and tedious, this is what we do in every other area of our lives. If we want to learn a skill or profession, we must seek out the necessary information. An athlete listens to coaches and more experienced players. A craftsman becomes an apprentice, first of all, so that he or she can learn from those who are more experienced. I found this to be true as an apprentice joiner. I learned how to do things by watching the more experienced joiners at work. And when you think of it, that was how Jesus trained his apostles. He called them to be with him so that they could learn from seeing him at work. Then they did things together, and the feeding of the 5,000 is a perfect example of that, where they helped him distribute the loaves and the fish amongst the people. Then they did things on their own, but especially in pairs, when he sent them out two by two into the surrounding villages. And they were ecstatic when they came back to report to him because of all the things that they had seen happen. Because demons were being cast out, people were being healed, miraculous things were taking place. And so we can see that the teaching that Jesus had given them was paying off. But as well as that, the Holy Spirit was at work in them and through them to bring blessing to the lives of the people that they made contact with. The story is told that when Jesus went back to heaven, an angel said to him, "What plans have you made for the continuation of your work on earth?" Jesus said, "I left behind 11 trained and dedicated people to continue this work." And you may wonder why 11 and not 12. Well, Judas had betrayed Jesus, and he couldn't live with himself then afterwards because of what he had done, so he committed suicide, and reducing the number to 11. And so he said, "I've left 11 trained and dedicated people to continue this work." The angel then said, But what if they fail? What other plans do you have? And Jesus said, I have no other plans. As we consider this parable of two builders, it will help us to see our part in his plan for the work of his kingdom today. The passage that Tina read today was about the two builders who built two houses on two different kinds of foundations with two different results. Here Jesus teaches us that the foundation upon which we build the house of our lives is of utmost importance. And so therefore we need to consider the comparisons. This short parable appears to speak of two very different types of people. The two people Jesus pictures here have several important characteristics in common. Both built houses, or both heard the word of Jesus, first of all. The two people in this parable both heard Jesus share his message of faith and repentance. So both people referred to in this parable knew the way of salvation. They both heard the gospel, and each one responded differently. Both built houses. Each of these people built a house based on their understanding of what Jesus said. The house in this parable is a picture of a life. That is, each person built a life based on how they interpreted the message of Jesus. This means that both people believed the message to a certain point. They each applied the words of Jesus to their life as they saw fit, like the man who said to me on one occasion about Christianity, "Oh yes, I believe in Christianity, but I must do it my way." And there's where he missed the whole point, because if we're going to do it, it has to be God's way, not And then we can see that both built in the same location. It doesn't actually say that, but it's a foregone conclusion because of the storm that arises. And verse 27 describes a very severe storm. This storm affected both houses, so they must have been built in close proximity to one another. And then both built similar houses. They both looked very much alike. Nothing is said about these houses being different. They used similar materials, and most likely a similar design. From the outside, these two homes looked alike. In fact, they were so similar, you might not have been able to tell which was which. So what he's saying is this, that some people can hear the message of God's word and react to it in different ways. We can take, for example, Bishop Michael Curry's sermon at the royal wedding just a few weeks ago. Many people were greatly impressed with that sermon and were blessed as a result of it. I was talking to somebody the other day. I'd never met him before. I'd spoken to him over the phone. I wasn't too sure how he would react to what the bishop had said. So I said to him, "Did you watch the royal wedding on Saturday?" And his first words were, "Wasn't that a wonderful sermon? Wasn't that a wonderful sermon?" He was so impressed with it. But then again, there were others who didn't see it in that way, and they criticized the bishop because of the things that he said, and so on. Obviously, the people pictured here in this passage are religious, orthodox in their beliefs, involved in their local church. They are responsible citizens. Both seem to believe the same things and live the same kind of lives. They have a lot in common, at least on the outside. And this reminds me of the following scripture from 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, where it says that people look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We may all look similar on the outside, but God knows what we really like inside. He knows what we are building upon. And then, secondly, we need to consider the contrasts. While there are several similarities, there are some very major differences between these two types of people. These differences are therefore worth looking at. While there are one man built his house on the sand. In this context, building on the sand is futile. It speaks of people who hear the gospel, but instead of believing it and coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they believe they can build their own lives on the shifting sands of human philosophy, wisdom, opinion, religious achievement. They are driven by outward religious appearances and faith in themselves, rather than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul describes that kind of person in this way, as one who has a form of godliness, but is denying the power thereof. And he warns Timothy to not associate with such people, because they could be a bad influence on him. People build on the sand because it's easy. It requires little effort. Just a little change here and a little change there. And they can fool themselves and everyone around them into thinking they are doing all right and that they are right with the Lord. A life built on the sand requires no commitment, no sacrifice, and no faith. And then one man built his house on the rock. And the word rock here refers to a large outcropping of rocks, or the bedrock. While one man built his house on the sand, the other dug deep. He dug until he reached the bedrock and built his house on that rock, which was unchanging and stable, and therefore a suitable place to build upon. Building on the rock speaks of people who hear the gospel and believe it to the point that they build their lives on it. And the word rock here in these verses is identified as the words of these words of mine that Jesus said. In other words, the words of Jesus. The rock is the gospel, the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same rock that is mentioned later on in the same gospel in chapter 16. When Jesus was on his way to Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, and he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter immediately said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus complimented him from that answer. And then he said these words. He said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In that passage, the word rock refers to Peter's profession of faith in the words of Jesus. In other words, it refers to faith in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so finally, we need to consider the consequences. This parable tells us that the rains came, and the floods followed, and the winds of destruction blew. This image is not just about some storms that we face in life. And as we go through life, many people do face terrible storms of sickness, bereavement, many other things that are coming against them. And therefore they need to have a strong faith in order to be able to stand up against these storms, to weather them. But I believe that Jesus is referring to an even greater storm that is still to come, and that is the storm of God's judgment, when we will all one day stand before him. That's when the foundation we have built our lives on will be put to the test. One will stand, the other will be washed away. So, what kind of foundations are we building our lives on here this morning? Are we building them on the rock, which is the teaching of Jesus as found in his word? Or are we unsure about what we believe and why we believe it? Are we pulled this way and that with every wind of false teaching? Because if we are, then the foundation of our faith is insecure. It's like building a house on sand. But if we are building our lives on the rock, then let's continue doing what we're doing so that we seek to stretch ourselves further in God's word and pray that he will give us an even greater hunger and a thirst for his word day by day. If our foundation is built upon sand and we know that we are not able to cope as we go through life, we are already sinking or tilting like the Tower of Pisa. Let's change foundations and build on the rock of God's word. So today, I invite all of us, myself included, to do a building inspection of our lives. Because when I worked on the building site, it wasn't enough that the joiners and the builders did their work properly. That work was inspected then by the foremen. But that wasn't enough either. Then the clerk of works would come around and he would inspect the work to make sure that everything was as it should be. So let us this morning do a building inspection of our lives and see where we really stand in the light of this particular parable. If we want a stable life, one that doesn't cave in when the rain comes, let's follow the teaching of Jesus and build on the rock today. Amen.